As I said, if any of you came in late, which Catholics never do, if any of you have small children, the homily has some, I'm going to be talking and I'm going to be reading some parts. And if any of you have small children, or if you are particularly sensitive, you might want to just spend the time, go over to the chapel, and the chapel, the speaker is off. So I just want to say that at the beginning, because what I'm going to be talking about today has to do with the Planned Parenthood videos that have been showing up in the news. You know, a priest is always having to decide on what he is going to preach, topic. And a lot of times people think that, well, you're supposed to be dealing with the gospel. And actually, that's not true. The rubrics or the instructions to the priest tell the priest that the homily should be on some on either the readings, especially the gospel, or any part of the mass, like I could preach on the Our Father or on the opening prayer, or third, any critical issues that are going on in the society. And, you know, I struggle with this because living in our society the way that we are in this period of history, things are coming down both from the society and the culture. The Supreme Court a few weeks ago, we had the decision on gay marriage. And I don't feel like I can stay silent. I don't think that I can, as your pastor, come in and give you a nice inspirational homily that doesn't touch at all on what you're getting in the news. And all of this is part of how we respond to all of this, is part of our how we respond as Christians. And a lot of people tell me, well, why does church get involved with political issues? Well, it's almost like sometimes people want us to be like, only talk about spiritual stuff. Real life out there, that belongs to the world. And Jesus reminds us that we have to deal with all of life. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to have a Christian outlook on all of life. And yes, we're going to deal with the spiritual issues, but we have to deal with issues such as life and death. It may be in the realm of politics, but life and death is life and death, and there's a moral issue. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be dealing with today. The other thing I'm going to be doing today is something I've never done in the 38 years that I have been a priest. And that is that the first two-thirds of the homily I'm going to read. So you know that I never read, ever read my homilies, ever. I don't think you can tell me. I've been in this church 17 years, and I don't think one time I've ever read a homily. But I read an article that impacted me so much that I was going to sort of tell you about it. But then I thought, no, it's not that long, and it's important that you make the effort to listen. So I'm asking you to make, I will try to read it as clearly as possible, and then I'm going to make a short comment on it. But I want you to make the effort not to tune out just because all Father's reading it. Okay? These words are super important. The article appeared in the New York Times, a fairly liberal newspaper, by a columnist whose name is Ross Douthat. Ross Douthat is a Catholic. He's probably the only Catholic or conservative columnist in the New York Times. But when I read it, by the way, it's posted on my page on Facebook. But whenever I post these articles, I get the I see how many people liked or even looked at it, and it's like 10, and I've got like 1,200 followers. So whenever I put a baby picture of me, everybody goes crazy, you know. Oh, we love it, we love it. Okay, so this the articles appeared in the New York Times, and it's called Looking Away from Abortion. In an essay in his 1976 collection entitled Mortal Lessons, the physician Richard Seltzer describes a strange suburban scene. People go outside in the morning in his neighborhood after the garbage trucks have passed and find a, quote, a foreignness upon the pavement, a softness that is underfoot. Looking down, Dr. Seltzer first thinks that what he is seeing are oversized baby birds. Then maybe rubber baby dolls. Until the realization comes that the street is littered with the tiny, naked, all too human bodies of aborted babies. Later, the local hospital director speaks to Dr. Seltzer, trying to impose order on the grisly scene. It was an accident, of course. The tiny corpses were accidentally, quote, mixed up with the other debris of the hospital instead of being incinerated or interred. It's not an everyday occurrence, said the hospital manager. Once in a lifetime, he says. And Seltzer tries to nod along. Quote, now you see, it's orderly now. It's sensible. The world is not mad. This is still a civilized society. But just this once, you know, in your heart of hearts, you know it isn't. You saw, and you know. Resolute abortion rights supporters would dismiss that claim of knowledge. Death and viscera are never pretty, they would say. But something can be disgusting without being barbaric. Just because it's awful to discover dead fetuses underfoot doesn't mean that the unborn have a right to life. And it's precisely this argument that has been marshaled lately in response to a new reminder of the fleshy realities of abortion. The conversations, videotaped covertly, by pro-life activists posing as fetal organ buyers, in which officials from Planned Parenthood cheerfully discuss the procedures for extracting those organs intact during an abortion and the prices that they command. It may be disturbing to hear those procedures described as, quote, "We've been very good at getting heart, lung, liver, because we know that, so I'm not going to crush that part of the fetus. I'm going to basically crush below. I'm going to crush above. I'm going to see if I can get it all intact." In the video, for you to hear and see. It may be unseemly to hear Planned Parenthood officials haggle over pricing for those organs. Quote, "Let me just figure out what others are getting, and if this is in the ballpark, then it's fine. If it's all still a little low, then we can bump it up. I want a Lamborghini, you know." End of quote. But in the end, Planned Parenthood defenders insist, listening to an abortionist discuss manipulating the calvarium, that is, the dying fetus's skull, so that it emerges research-ready from the womb, is fundamentally no different than listening to a doctor discuss heart surgery or organ transplants. It's unsettling, yes, but just because it's gross doesn't prove that it's wrong. Which is true, but in this case, not really true enough. Because real knowledge isn't purely theoretical. It's the fruit of your experience, recognition, imagination, life itself. And the problem these videos create for Planned Parenthood isn't just generalized queasiness at surgery and blood. It's a very specific disgust, informed by reason and experience. The reasoning that notes that it is precisely a fetus's humanity that makes its organs valuable, and the experience of recognizing one's own children on the ultrasound monitor and after as something more than just, quote, products of conception or tissue for the knife. That's why Planned Parenthood apologists have fallen back on complaining about deceptive editing, though the full videos have been released in all cases. Or else simply they ask for people to look away. And it's why many of my colleagues in the press seem uncomfortable reporting on the actual content of these videos. Because dwelling on that gets you uncomfortably close to Dr. Seltzer's tipping point. That moment when you start pondering the possibility that an institution at the heart of a respectable society is dedicated to a practice that deserves to be called barbarism. That's a hard thing to accept. It's part of why so many people hover in the conflicted borderlines of the pro-choice side. They don't like abortion. They think its critics have a point. But to actively join the pro-life side would require passing too comprehensive a judgment on their coalition, their country, their friends, their very selves. The reluctance is a human universal. It's why white Southerners long preferring the mythology of the lost cause of the South to slaveholding realities. It's why patriotic Americans rarely want to dwell too long on massacres that have occurred in our wars such as Mille or even Nagasaki. It's why many conservatives, I was loath to engage with the reality of the torture, even the torture of terrorists in interrogation programs. But the reluctance to look doesn't change the truth of what there is to see. Those were dead human beings on Dr. Richard Seltzer's street 40 years ago. And these are dead human beings being discussed in the video today. Human beings that the nice, idealistic medical personnel at Planned Parenthood have spent their careers crushing, evacuating, and carving up for parts. The pro-life sting was stinging. There are still reportedly 10 more videos. You can turn away, but there will be plenty of chances to look, to see, and to know. Folks, I've been talking to you about how things are changing. The biggest temptation that I think American Catholics face, and other Catholics, other Christians, is living in a bubble of our own privacy, while things around us, we say, well, that's other people's business. But folks, we take pride on this being a democracy. And that means that we are part of that group that is supposed to be governing. Governance by the people, for the people. And so we must not look away. We must not just constantly try to fit in and be nice. Because human beings are dying. And I'm sorry that it's hard, and I'm sorry that it's grisly. But that doesn't mean we are able to look away. It reminded me, and every time I bring up the Holocaust, it's always dangerous. Because the Holocaust under Hitler was not so long ago, and it stands as the pinnacle of human evil in our recent historical experience. But folks, you see, the concentration camps and the war killed 50 million, about. I think maybe even more, but I can't remember. But when we look back at our own country and when we think about the barbarism that occurred, and how could they have done it? Well, you know how they could have done it? The same thing we're doing, the same way we're doing it. The German people looked away. They looked away. They didn't have to see the trains filled with Jews. They didn't have to watch the carnage at the concentration camps. They lived in towns. Sometimes people living in towns, even close to the concentration camps, they knew there was something going on over there, but that's the government. And they turned away. They turned away. That's why when the Allies took over and conquered, I mean, took over and liberated the concentration camps and found mountains of dead bodies. What they did is they went to the nearest towns and they told all of the Germans in the nearest towns, and they brought them all at the point of a gun, not killing them or anything, but they brought them to the concentration camps, and they made the Germans, the lay people, bury the people that the soldiers had killed. And their excuse? We didn't know. We didn't know. But you know. You know. And you can't look away. So the question is, so what do you do? First of all, you're not going to be able to change it immediately. But I'm telling you to give a damn. I'm telling you that when it comes now, we're entering the political season. And people are already talking about all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, and I never do. But I'll tell you, if somebody tells me the economy's got to be better, but it's going to be at the price of some kids being torn apart, even if it's for research, God knows the Nazis did that too, I'm sorry. But that can't happen. And so I'm asking you, first of all, to look. Don't turn away. This is being done by our country. We have already killed 50, over 50 million kids. Over 50. Don't say, well, they were just fetuses. They were people. They were people. We in the Catholic community don't say that the baby in the womb is worth less than the life of the mother. All of us have equal worth in the sight of God. Everybody. Human dignity. So as we enter into not only the discussions in your private lives, the discussion in the politics, in all of that, ask yourself, who are you? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you willing to stand up? Or are you just going to turn away and pretend that life is the bubble and the sitcom and life is nice for me? Because you don't look. What you saw, you know, and you can't forget what you've seen.